everybody got their Bibles with them this morning? Has everyone got Bibles? Got church Bibles? You forgot yours? If you make sure you can turn to page 891 if you've got a church Bible. That's Daniel chapter 6, page 891. Now, the older ones among you here may think that because this is an all-age service, part of our summer series on Daniel, that this story is not applicable to you because it's a children's story, isn't it? But does anybody know how old Daniel was in this story? Any guesses how old Daniel was? Nobody knows. Come on, who are the ones? 19? Any advance on 19? 30s? Older than that? Sorry? 50s? Older than that? Sorry? 80? 80. Daniel was about 80 years old in his stories. I'm afraid he wasn't a young man. I'm not really sure then it's actually suitable for children, but the children seem to enjoy the story anyway. And I do promise you, any of you animal rights activists, that although there are lions involved in the story, none of them got hurt, and they were quite well fed at the end. The gastronomy line that I had there. So, wouldn't it be great to be like Daniel? Would you enjoy it to be Daniel, the hero of the story, experiencing God's amazing deliverance? Everyone just watches you. You're there. You're the one who stands for God, and God saves you from the mouth of the lions. You see, when I was young, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be like Daniel, even if I had to wait till I was 80 years old to be there. I was going to be the one. I would not deny my God. I would stand strong in front of the lions. But I realized something, which was, I don't want to get eaten by lions. I don't really want to get thrown into a den of lions. They're a little bit scary. You see, you know, you might get thrown into the lion's den. I'm not sure if they brush their teeth at night before going to bed. They might be a bit smelly. And actually, when I went to the zoo, I saw some, and they were a little bit scary. So the thought of going into a lion's den kind of gave me nightmares. So I didn't think I really wanted to be like Daniel after all. Anyone else here with me on that? Anyone here still want to be like Daniel? Does anyone here want to get thrown into a den of lions and get eaten? Is there anybody who wants to get eaten by lions? No, we can arrange it if you want. but really, it's not on my list of things that I want to do before I die. So my thinking went like this. Okay, I don't want to get eaten by lions, so I don't want to get thrown into a den of lions. Now, Daniel was thrown into a den of lions, so if I work out what it is that Daniel did to get thrown into a den of lions, and I avoid doing those things, then I'm going to be pretty safe, aren't I? So I want you guys to help me. Looking through the Bible passage this morning, or remembering from the story, what was it? What were the things that Daniel did? What were the things about him that got him thrown into a den of lions? So that's why you need to look at your Bibles now, page 891, 892, and just see, tell me, shout out just one at a time, what are the things which Daniel did to get him thrown into a den of lions? Now, I've got a list of things. I've sort of got some things to remember. So we'll see if we get a similar sort of list. So someone shouted something now. Sorry? I can't hear you. In a position of power. Yes, Daniel was in a position of power. So what's a sort of position of power? I think if he had a position of power, then he must have had a great sort of badge, you know. Wouldn't you have a badge if you were in a position of power to show that you're the powerful person? Yeah? So, position of power. Let's put power there so we don't forget. What else? Sorry? He disobeyed the law of the land. Yeah, that's right. So he chose that he was going to follow God's law rather than the law of the land. So I sort of put this one as, for those of you who know your road signs, he prioritized God's law. And so he disobeyed the law of the land. What else we got? Anyone else? Come on, there's lots of things in there. Honest. He was honest. Yeah. I haven't got a picture for honesty. I'll just write that one up then. Honest. Yep. Prayed. Hang on, we'll get to trustworthy in a second. So let's have somebody praying down here. Okay, and oh, so that's prayed. Trustworthy. So he was someone who, for those of you who know the William Tell story, could be trusted. Anything else? No? Wasn't corrupt or negligent. Excellent. Go on, you guys have to search hard for some of these ones. They're can be a bit tricky. So there's not corrupt. Any more? Okay, there's one right at the start in verse 3, which I looked in a slightly different version of the Bible. It said that he had an excellent spirit in him. There was something about him. And if we look throughout the rest of the book of Daniel, it says that Nebuchadnezzar recognized Daniel as having the spirit of the gods in him. So I sort of thought of that as being like a picture which we sometimes draw to represent the Holy Spirit. Now, a sneaky one, which I found as well, which is that Daniel read his Bible. Now, how do we know that Daniel read his Bible? Does anyone know how? It's because Daniel was praying, and when he prayed, he was opening his windows to face Jerusalem. And we read further on in the book, in chapter 9, that Daniel prayed and repented on behalf of his people. And that's what Solomon had told the people to do when you get into trouble, when you get taken away. Go and pray facing towards Jerusalem. So Daniel must have known that from reading the Bible. And also, when we read chapter 1 a few weeks ago, that Daniel had followed God's law at that point. So any others in there? Okay, well, that'll do as a list for now. So, what we get from this story then is that we don't want to do any of those things. Is that right? Is that the point of the story, that we're not meant to do any of those things? The Bible wants to teach us to avoid them? No. Oh, that's right, because at the end of the story, who got eaten by the lions? It was the corrupt ones. It wasn't Daniel. Daniel got saved miraculously from lions. So, hang on, does that mean that if I want to avoid getting eaten by lions, these are probably actually things I should be doing? So, but, I mean, did Daniel actually really want to even get thrown into the lion's den in the first place? Because he could have avoided getting thrown into the lion's den, couldn't he? Just that morning didn't have to get up and pray and read his Bible and whatever. Did he really want to? Or did Daniel actually want something else? And in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ." So I think Daniel was a little bit like Paul, that he actually, it wasn't that he was worried about the lions, but he was concentrating upon what he really did want, which was something much more important, which was that he considered his life as worth nothing compared to knowing and honouring God. Now, let's think about it. If the government in this country put out a law today saying you're not allowed to pray, otherwise you're going to be thrown into the lion's den, what would that mean to you? would that get you into trouble? And in fact, if they'd put it out last week, would they be able to find that actually all of you here were guilty? Because the question is, do we actually get up and read our Bible and pray? Or before we go to bed at night, read our Bible and pray? Do we, do like Daniel in the middle of the day, stop to pray? Are we actually praying? And the thing is that Daniel didn't just do this, sort of suddenly start praying because there was a law about it. This was something that Daniel had set up as a habit for his lifetime. And so that when the moment of trouble came, when the big test came for him, he didn't have to change his normal routine. He was ready. He was prepared. It's like, if you think of like a marathon runner. A marathon runner doesn't suddenly one day get up and say, I'm going to run a marathon, having never trained for it. A marathon runner gets ready by training every single day, by eating, by resting, by running, so that when it comes to the day of the race, they're ready. And in fact, maybe even in between times, they're ready. It's the preparation, the everyday, the choosing to get up, to read the Bible, to pray, to spend time with God, and to live the right way. That's what gets you prepared for the testing situations. Like when I was at school and other children were bullying me and making fun of me for going to church every Sunday. I could have tried to deny it or stop going to church. But what helped me through was the fact that I knew that it was what God wanted me to do. And so I prayed and trusted him. The bullying didn't stop immediately. It took a year or so to go away. But God helped me through that situation. Or when I was a bit older and I worked in a petrol station, and customers were asking me to give some falsified receipts so they could claim more on their expenses than what they'd actually done. And my boss said, do it. And I chose, well, actually, no, God says I shouldn't do that. And so I'm not going to do it. And that time God didn't deliver me. I lost the job because I wasn't willing to do the wrong thing. But God still provided for my every need. And I can tell you loads of stories about when I did things right, and some when I didn't do things right. But what I know is the times when I chose to do things right, I didn't regret it. And the times when I chose to do things wrong, I did regret it. But it was all based on how I lived every day, those choices of getting up to pray, getting up to read, and to spend time with God. Elsie. Today's story about Daniel, when I was looking at it, it reminded me of someone else. It reminded me of another righteous man, someone who had an unusual spirit within him, somebody who spoke with great authority, someone who was unjustly accused by those who were kind of jealous of him. Someone who was betrayed by people close to him. Someone who was found not guilty, but was sentenced to death anyway. And someone who, well, you see, Daniel, he was silent throughout this story, right till the very end. But this someone was taken away to die, and then they were put in a cave which had a stone rolled in front of it. And they had a royal seal put on the stone. And everyone assumed that that was the end because, well, he's dead. But against all expectations, he rose back to life. Does anyone know who that might be?
Jesus.
Yeah, we were challenged in looking at our summer series about Daniel to find where is Jesus in these stories. And you see that every step of the way through this story of Daniel, that Jesus was there, doing the same sorts of things. And last week, our pastor Andy, he said that while you know that God saves us, and today God rescues us, sometimes you kind of wish he might do it a little bit sooner, that he didn't wait until you were actually in the lion's den before saving you. That you don't want it to leave it to the last minute. But the thing is that Jesus knows what it's like. Because God didn't prevent him being arrested and beaten and tried and found not guilty, but sentenced to death and being buried anyway. God let him go through all that ordeal so that he could save us. Jesus knows what it is like, and Jesus can rescue, and he is with us through those difficult times, through the dark times, and he is ready and wanting to rescue and save us, not always out, but through those difficulties which we go through. The question is, are we willing to trust him?